This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Blue Wire.
Let's fuck this shit.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hey guys, welcome back to Puck Bunnies. A podcast that's about sports.
Definitely.
We are presented by Blue Wire, and this week we're sponsored by Lifeway.
My name's Christina.
My name's Audrey, and this week we are so happy to welcome, from The Athletic, from Peg City, way up north, Marat Atesh, who is the beat writer for the Winnipeg Jets for The Athletic. So happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm a huge fan of the pod. Long-time listener, second-time guest, first time with both of you. I'm thrilled.
How have the last couple of days been? How's the adjustment period been going?
It's kind of crazy to go from pandemic pause and all that scrambling that you do to figure out what's going to be interesting or what your readership wants to read. And then you actually have real hockey to talk about and everybody's fired up for it. And it's just like, it's the long, painful anti-joke is what this last week has been. It just lands on this rhythm of, okay, all of a sudden, here's the playoffs and then there they go. And now what the... Can I swear on your podcast?
As much as you want.
And then now what the fuck are we going to do, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of where
Well, right before we started recording, I was telling Audrey how much I was looking forward to talking about, like, what the Jets are going to do. They have nothing in the pipeline. And it seems like they're hinging all of their playoff hopes on a 10th pick.
Yeah, that would be a bold play. That would be a bold strategy for sure. I think even last summer, before the season started, before Bufflin was out, the Athletic Winnipeg preview of the Jets said, there's going to be a retool. There's going to be a step back. This is not a contending team this year. It's a bubble team. It's an 8-9 kind of team. And then Bufflin goes out, right? So that's a problem. And that's something that Winnipeg is still reeling from. Dylan DeMello, I don't know if the world knows. I don't know if the Puck Bunnies know yet how good Dylan DeMello is. As
let him know.
He is so smart. He is such a smart player. And the like, you hear people talk about like players with big brains and who read the game quickly and all that sort of stuff. And it's usually a cliche. And then the puck goes into his corner and then he shoulder checks just like a driver. He knows where all five guys are and he makes the breakout pass and it's clean. And nobody was able to do it all year.
So he's rotating a cube in his mind because his brain is so big and he can just like...
He has fully developed his brain because he's in his mid-20s. So scientifically speaking, he's as smart as he's going to get. And I'm glad that the Jets are going to be able to take advantage of that.
Get him out there.
Well, they need to sign him is the thing. So all of a sudden, Winnipeg's defense was brutal all year. Like by defensive metrics, expected goals, all of that sort of stuff, Winnipeg's defense was awful. You watch them in their own zone and they're doing the best they can, but it's in their own zone. And he was the first little bit of the Jets actually turning the tide against that. They were kind of 50-50 against Calgary. It was their special teams that let them down so badly and the absence of Scheifele, of course. So you have Morrissey, you have Pionki, you have DeMello, and then a bunch of young guys and prayers. And that is a problem. That is definitely a problem heading into the offseason. And the number one, well, in any other offseason, it would be the number one thing to worry about. But now they've got a second line center issue, too. So
right.
it is a little bit troublesome in Winnipeg.
Casting your mind back to the beginning of the season, which now feels about 5 years ago.
500 years.
Did you have a vision for what this season was going to look like for the Jets or what it was supposed to look like? And how did that begin to differ over the
and
course
when?
Of the season?
Yeah, my vision was this. It was going to be 50-50 to make the playoffs. because I thought the defense was going to take a step back. I thought the forwards were as good as ever, and I had faith in Connor Hellebuck. And it's weird because they were the ninth seed in the end, which makes it seem like I was right, but so much shit happened in between. And I would say like the moment that it veered off course was the day before training camp when Dustin Byfuglien says that, hey, you know, I'm going to take a pause here.
By the way, I'm not coming to training camp. Just letting you know.
Just letting you all know. You need me, but I got my own thing to do.
Came down to the wire. I know it's a little rude to give such short notice, but here we are.
It's called self-care. Look it up.
Yeah, that was exactly it. And that was the day before camp started. And then it just got weirder from there. You had Brian Little take a puck that went through the ear hole of his helmet and hit him in the head. He had needed to have ear surgery, but he also had a head injury with his brain, and he's still reeling from that and hasn't played since then. You had injuries to Mason Appleton. Broke his ankle playing football before the Heritage Classic. It was supposed to be like a warm, soft, fuzzy moment for everybody. They're playing football outside. He breaks his ankle.
I don't think they should be allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, I
think that probably put an end to like the pre-Heritage Classic football tradition or whatever it probably is.
I actually stand with Justin Bourne. I don't think they should be able to play any games other than hockey. They can't play under the stadium. Nothing.
No.
They should be bubble wrapped.
Yes.
This is such an unfair aside, but I remember thinking years ago, I heard that Tiger Woods missed a big tournament, or at least some tournament he was meant to play in, because of a back injury sustained while sleeping. And at the time, I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, but golf's not a real sport or whatever. How does he miss because he was sleeping? Now we know about affairs and other things. So there's all sorts of things
right. That
maybe they shouldn't be able to do if you want to bubble wrap them and keep them safe.
They should have to be quarantined all the time.
Yeah,
we've solved it with the pandemic and sending them to the bubbles. That okay, well, if you just keep everybody in isolation and all they're allowed to do is like go everywhere in groups and not be around anybody else, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. They'll be completely fine. And maybe that's the ticket for next year as well. So anyway, the chapters of this season were before the season when I thought everything was going to be normal. There was the Byfuglien chapter, which was the entire first half of the season. Then there was the when is the bottom going to drop out? Because they're spending so much time in their own zone and Connor Hellebuck's keeping them in it. So the results are what you'd expect, but it's just like onslaught after onslaught against the Jets. And then towards the end of the year, they started to get healthy and it was the, is this team any good sort of chapter as well. And I think that they showed okay against Calgary, but it wasn't good enough. And I think the best team won and here we are. And now who knows what's coming up in the offseason.
And a lot of the series against Calgary, I mean, we talked about was just horrible luck. The Tkachuk on Scheifele resulting injury, having four players out for game three or game four was just...
And Line A. It was the worst and also most appropriate end for the Jets season, in my opinion, for like two star players to just not be able to play and one of them injured gruesomely. Pretty gruesomely. They really liked that clip.
Yes.
They really love to play the whole thing, and as someone who's like dislocated my kneecap, did not like seeing that very much. But it's just such a bummer because I am, for some reason, a huge Peg City fan. Love Blake Wheeler. Would love to see him win a cup. And
you would love to see him, period.
I would love to see him. I would like to respectfully like look at him. And anyway, it's such a tragic ending to a team that always seemed right on the bubble of getting to the Stanley Cup, but not quite.
Yeah, now it's a huge step. It feels like a huge step back. And you're so right. It was the most Jets ending. I mean, Scheifele out 5 minutes and 39 seconds. It was the end of his third shift. And it's kind of a freak play. I have opinions on the reach out of the leg on that. I don't think it's a safe play. I don't think he was trying to cut him or anything like that. But the instinct to just get a piece of him, that is going to hurt people, whether it's as bad as it was for Scheifele or not. And then Line A and Appleton and then Perreault. And then Tucker Poolman taking a shot block off the face, coming back with like a baseball in his cheek and then still blocking shots after that. You know, it was very Jets.
I have like a really random question. Does it hurt whenever the goalie gets slapped with the puck, or is he covered too much to feel it?
Where?
If it got right in the chest.
You see bruises on Connor Hellebuck, like through his padding and all that sort of stuff, depending. You do, yeah.
What do you think about his performance in these playoffs, and what does that say for his future with the franchise?
Is he going to win the Vezina?
He's going to win the Vezina. It would be ridiculous if he didn't. He had the best season by far, and I've said that to so many people since November. If he doesn't, I will flip a table or a pool or whatever I have to flip.
Or pool man.
I'll call up Tucker.
He doesn't win. Tucker Pullman is a great fucking hockey name.
It is.
Connor Hellebuyck didn't steal a game, which is what he needed to do for Winnipeg to win. And is kind of what, when I thought everybody was going to be healthy, I thought it was 50-50. Then Hellebuyck steals a game, and so Winnipeg wins the play-in and loses in round one. That's kind of how I saw it. But, like, to take some sort of conclusion from four games of play and say that this tarnishes the season or makes him unclutch or makes us worry about his future, I have no time for that. It's just such a tiny sample. The one thing that we have a big sample of is that when he plays the puck behind the net, sometimes shit happens, and that's going
to
be a concern.
He loves to do it. He loves to play that.
You know, that applies to pretty much every goalie in the league, right? We're seeing some of that in the playoffs, and it makes me very uncomfortable.
I get so nervous whenever I see, like, Mike Smith or Hellebuyck.
I get so nervous whenever I see Mike Smith.
Period. Actually, I wonder if that's more of a trend. I mean, like, we don't have time to go into this, but I'd be really interested to see if goalies playing the puck is, like, a new trend. Because I feel like everybody's doing it these days, and they gotta stop.
I don't feel like it's new, because you can go back to, like, 90s Brodeur as, like, you know, everybody talked about how many breakouts he started and how he changed the way teams dump pucks in and all that sort of stuff. But I honestly don't think that you cut back so many chances doing that stuff that it's worth it, especially when you give up freebies from time to time.
How much is the potential goalie assist worth to you, I guess?
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the swagger of that. Connor Hellebuyck saw Mikhail Burden, the Manitoba Moose goalie, you know, score a goal at one point, and now he's lagging behind, right? His point totals aren't quite what they could be.
I think, in January or February when Pekka did it, it might have inspired everybody.
They're trying
so
hard.
That was huge. That was the coolest day.
It was so slow.
How has it been covering this when you haven't even been able to be in the arena, when you're not even in the same province? How has it been different?
I agonized, like, back and forth. There was at one point a chance that I was going to go, and I would have gone. But I agonized about that and had to do the pros and cons list a whole bunch of times, right? Because the people in the building were still stuck covering via Zoom call, right? Like, they were still limited to the same less than ideal availabilities that we had. It wasn't like there were these side one-on-one conversations. You're not allowed in the same room as a player, in the same building, or in the same hotel, let's say. So the typical advantages of being on site weren't really there. At the same, it would have been cool. It would have been cool to just see how surreal it was. But if you're going to be me and, like, you know, suggest that, you know, my angle of covering things is usually will be a little bit nerdier, right? I'll cut some clips together. I'll make some charts. I'll be like, here's the story, but here's also, you know, how a play went that changed things. It's pretty easy to do that from a living room. So I try to enjoy a comfy chair and a fresh cup of coffee in a way that I wouldn't otherwise get to do.
Whatever snacks you actually want to have instead of just what's available to you.
No more stale bagels.
They probably don't get snacks in the press box right now.
Oh, no. They just get, like, sealed hand sanitizer. It smells like methyl alcohol, so they gin hands for the rest of the day.
I didn't even ask. That's compelling. Thomas Drantz, what are you eating in Edmonton right now?
Press box snack watch. Christina, you know that I have been looking for some sort of probiotic food to help balance out my gut that I'm not allergic to, because I'm allergic to a lot of, like, stuff that has dairy in it, right?
I know, and you've been looking for this for about a year and a half now. I've been here for the whole process, and I love it for you.
I am so excited about our partnership with Lifeway Kefir, because I can have kefir. I'm not allergic to it. It's full of protein, and it's full of probiotics.
Quick question. What exactly is a probiotic?
So a probiotic is a type of bacterial culture that helps regulate your gut. You hear about it a lot because it's in yogurt, right? Lifeway Kefir has 12 different probiotic cultures, which means that it has up to 30 billion units. That's double the amount that is in yogurt. Kefir is actually also really good for your skin, and Lifeway Kefir contains alpha hydroxy acid, which improves your skin health. And you know that you and I are all about skincare.
I put AHAs on my face every night. Why not put them in my body as well? I'm really excited about this.
If you want to learn more about Lifeway Kefir, you can go to www.lifewaykefir.com. Coming back to the Shifley injury, about kind of the unique difficulties that covering something like that right now has, can you take us through, like, that happening in the game and how you tried to cover it after it happened?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it happens in the game, and your mind starts racing because you know that it's a big deal. He went down, and immediately from TV, it was just so much pain that he was in, and like people in the building heard it, like they heard the wails, I think was the word. First and foremost, you tweet about it, right? And
of course,
you gotta do that. Number one.
And I think I guessed right, because it happens quickly and you're tweeting before you've seen it 78 times, right? You say the clip goes around all the time right now, but the first time you've seen it and then you fire out your opinion. And I say that it looked like Tkachuk reached out his leg, got a piece of Scheifele's back leg, and I'm not sure what the incident was, sort of thing. So I'm glad that my initial sight was kind of what happened. And then you, as the game goes on, you cut and you use your PVR and you go backwards and you watch it a whole bunch of times so that you do feel like you know what happened. And then it sort of just, it took on a life of its own, because right after the game, you know you're going to get an update. You know everybody's going to get asked about it. And then Paul Maurice goes off, right? He makes it a story.
I wanted to ask you about that specifically. Like, he really popped off, as they say. And how do you feel about that? Because I was almost like, this is almost crossing a line to me.
And also, I remember when we had you on earlier in the year, we were like, oh yes, Paul Maurice, very lovely man, reasonable, very kind. When I talked to Christina about this, I was like, this is such a wrestling move to kind of get people fired up. It's great content. Whatever he's doing, he's getting attention for it, whether or not like that's the result that he actually wants. But yeah, I was curious about like if you had ever seen that before, or what kind of effect you had largely on the team.
It was the first time that I've seen him go sort of break character, right? That's how it felt to me, is that he doesn't go off like that. And he was saying it was intentional. He was trying to cut him. And it's so far from how I perceived it too. It's just like my first reactions were two things. One, Paul, you're wrong. Two, this is a character break. So then that was primed in the back of my mind for the rest of his press conference, where he also started talking about how a lot of the game was his fault. He didn't give his team consistent lines. He screwed up a couple of times trying to give them a rhythm. And then by the end of it, my conclusion was one of two things. It was that he was beyond himself, so he wasn't making a whole lot of sense. And I turned that one down. I think what it was he was trying to make the story about him. He was trying to make the story away from the game, away from Winnipeg being down 1-0, away from all those sorts of things. I thought that he was trying to become the lightning rod. I don't think it worked. I don't think it fired anyone up, like with any extra fire. I don't know that the outcome was worth it, but that was my read of the moment. He was just trying to...
When you've got Matthew Tkachuk in the mix, you're never going to be the lightning rod. Also, like, that spot is taken.
I saw the funniest headline today where it was like, Mark Scheifele has forgiven Matthew Tkachuk.
And I was like, oh, how benevolent.
Like, I know, I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Saints. What happened to a worse person? Because as someone who's watched a ton of Peg City games, you really just, it's such a joy to watch him play. He's such a nice man. And I miss him. And please tell him that I hope he gets better.
Will do. Yeah, he's so freaking nice is the thing.
Yeah, so freaking nice.
You don't want it to be him. You don't want it to be the villain that hurts him. All those sorts of things, yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty crazy. I think Matthew Tkachuk was trying to cut him on purpose. Take was, it was so out there that I kind of had the same reaction as you. I was like, I don't think he knows what he's talking about, or I think he's doing this just to get hyped up. And that's why it was so weird, because that's so not NHL.
Mm-hmm. And it's not him either, right? You know? Paul Maurice is like pretty known for straight talking.
Yeah, he's the composed one. What do you think of the forgiveness thing? Actually, I wanted to like go back to that word because I talked away from it and around it. But he says his parents taught him to wish the best upon everyone and that he has no hard feelings and all of those sorts of things. And I hear a guy trying so hard, and probably successfully, but not a guarantee, trying so hard to reframe things in a way he can move on from and just deal with.
Yeah.
Can that work? Is that human? Is that just freaking Mark Scheifele?
You know what? He must be seeing a really good therapist, or has in the past, who has taught him to like reframe bad things that happen to you. And he's like, I'm going to learn from this. It's going to be fine. But also, I think it's really easy when you look at a player like Matthew Tkachuk. You say, okay, but this guy is going to have to live with this reputation for the rest of his career. Like, this is just going to be over and over and over again. And he's never going to have the same kind of second chances. And he's constantly going to be on the outs.
So the way I see it is, and this is from being from the South, there's a little phrase that we like to say called bless your heart.
Both of you, in sync, same note. How did you know? Where is this going?
So I think that Mark Scheifele right now is embracing the bless your heart ethos, where he is so fucking mad at Matthew Tkachuk, and he's also not going to get dragged down to that level.
That's right. That's right.
So now what he's doing is just saying, like, yeah, you know, fucking whatever. I hope he...
Freaking whatever.
You'll get what's yours. It's almost this very Southern, like, zen. You know that you're a better person. You know that you got fricked up, but you're just moving along.
And you're like, you'll get yours eventually, but it's none of my business.
See what you're, sweetie.
Right, exactly.
And there's no doubt in my mind he seethed. Like, Mark Scheifele seethed about this. He went to dark places about this. But here we are, like, a week later, and he's able to do that. Yeah, I believe you.
Also, he's a billionaire, so, yeah, he's fine.
I mean, I'm really happy it wasn't the Achilles. His tendon or his Achilles. And I think also probably that has a little bit of to do with it. Like, if it had been extremely, extremely serious, then I would not have blamed him for not preaching forgiveness at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but 6 months or a year or a career in the worst case scenario, then yeah, you go down some dark places and you could stay there, I could imagine.
So what is the latest prognosis that you've gotten on his injury, and actually on everybody's injuries? How's everybody doing?
How's everybody? With Mark Scheifele, the idea was that it was going to be a few weeks and that's it. But that was pending more imaging and other tests as of Sunday. So I think what probably happened there is that there's been multiple opinions and multiple assessments of exactly the extent of things. So they're just trying to get everybody on the same page. This is my interpretation, not a fact. Mm-hmm. And it's almost definitely going to be relatively short term, but it's not 100%. Line A and Appleton, two or three weeks each. Brian Little, we had a very sad conversation with Brian Little today. He's not retiring. He's not announcing his retirement. He didn't even like saying that word, but he's clearly in a place. He hasn't played since like 5 years ago in October. He still doesn't have the clearance to play. And he's now being made to consider both paths. The idea of being an immediate retiree against his will, essentially, or the idea that he might be able to come back and play. So he just lives his life. Plays with his daughter, spends time with his wife, and hopefully next month's test is going to be better than last month's test was. And he honestly sounded, it's worn on him. My read was that he's coping.
I know that this has all happened I cannot believe that the draft lottery happened on Monday, which already feels somehow like it was 12 hours ago and 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yes.
Can you talk us through a little bit what these results mean for Winnipeg this coming off season and some moves that you might predict or want them to make if you're armchair GM?
Armchair GM cap on. For them to pick at 10 instead of 12, which is how they would have ended by points percentage, just looking at the draft board feels way better than a two-spot improvement. There's a chance of guys like Marco Rossi, who's just a brilliant player, scored almost at a Lafreniere level, but people are worried about his size. Like, what if he drops?
Small goals, boys. No respect. They don't get any respect.
No respect. And so there's a couple of really good players that might drop. There's also a ton of good talent available where at 10, you could imagine them getting somebody for sure that's quality, whereas 12, 13, 14 is a little bit more of a gamble. So that's good for the Jets. I've heard some talk about they should trade the pick. And I've seen Winnipeg trade its first round pick so many times in recent... They switched picks with Vegas in 2017 to protect Toby Enstrom. They traded their pick in 2018. They traded again in 2019. They got it back for Jacob Trouba. And none of this has fixed the second line center problem. And now the second line center problem is even bigger because Brian Little may or may not ever play again. So that's the number one. As much as the issue is the defense, 100% it's the defense. The defense is what held the team back this year. You can sort of see Morrissey, Pionk, and DeMello. And if they can re-sign DeMello, you can squint and you can see things working out. Ville Heinola is a really great rookie. Dylan Sandberg, a college player, is highly touted and signed, so he could be available. Sami Niku could finally... There's enough maybes that you sort of squint and kind of see that there's something there. Up front, it's that second line center issue. Brian Little won't be around. Andrew Kopp can do so many things. He's their best defensive forward. Sincerely, he is and has been for some time. But there's a question about whether he can score enough to keep that job. First and foremost, it's re-sign Dylan DeMello. Then it is use the fact that Winnipeg is one of the only teams with any amount of cap space heading into next season to try to go shopping for some low-hanging fruit and patch up center and left defense.
Is there anybody in particular that you have your eye on who's going into free agency that you think they might want to go after?
For me, it's Michael Granlund. Longtime Minnesotan, recent Predator, has just such a track record of being a strong two-way player and scoring, mm-hmm. which is what you want from that second line center spot. Enough offense to put up points with Nick Ehlers and Patrick Laine and whoever else is available, but enough two-way responsibility to sort of cover their ass, but also just be able to play against really good players and still come out on top of it. The issue with him is he's played a lot of center, but some wing, and what is he going to be in the future, all that sort of stuff. That's one of the guys as a free agent that I would love. I would love a 5 years ago Mikko Koivu, but he might be retiring and he's going to be a Wild till he dies. So
yeah,
it's tough. You can't. It's tough to look out there and see an easy, immediate solution.
Especially when like your pipeline has just been devastated. There's just nobody coming up. And that's always a question that I have for you is how does a situation like that happen where some teams have a lot of developmental talent and then Winnipeg just doesn't?
Yeah, part of it, it's twofold as far as I see it. Part of that is a lot of Winnipeg's greatest prospects over the last few years became Jets almost immediately. So you have...
Because they needed them to play.
Exactly. Like Patrick Laine, Nick Ehlers, Kyle Connor, all teenagers or early 20s players playing with the Jets and having an impact. So there's that. But then starting in 2017, they switch first round picks. So instead of Nick Suzuki, they end up with Christian Vesalainen. That has not been a hit so far. He could turn into somebody. 2018, they trade away a first round pick. 2019... I mean, they trade one away, they get it back, but had they not...
And this is, I feel, sort of the consequence of this win now, which I, you know, applaud the Jets for going, because I think this is Blake Wendell. I think this was Blake Wheeler's last shot. This is sort of the pay of the piper, kind of.
That's exactly that. And it's not just picks I keep harping about, but even prospects. Eric Foy, they traded St. Louis for Stastny, partly. And then trying so hard to re-sign Stastny, they cleared out cap space by trading Mason to Montreal. And they package Yoel Armia with him as well, a good young player, and late picks. There are so many picks and prospects moving out of Winnipeg in the last couple of years that here they are, and their pipeline is down, and the answers aren't there.
Hey, they got hella cash, though, so it's not all bad.
Hella bucks.
To bring things full circle, what is one thing that you've learned about the Jets covering them this season that you didn't know going in?
This is your essay, your first day back at school.
Yes.
Essay.
My paragraph essay.
What I learned during my winter vacation. I think there were a lot of questions about the end of last year, how Winnipeg kind of fell apart in the second half. And there were rumors, unsourced, unverified rumors about tensions in the dressing room and conflict and all those sorts of things. And then they went through so much. Byfuglien's absence, all the injuries. Patrick Laine in Finnish press, somebody took him out of context and it sounded like he was shit-talking Brian Little. There were a lot of things. You have Blake Wheeler starting the season by talking about how he didn't like himself at home. He wasn't a good family man last summer. He was so tense about things. And basically, I think the biggest thing I learned, because I expected them to take a step back, and then when Byfuglien's out, you expect them to just be kind of bad, honestly. That's too many holes. But I learned that they handled their shit. That's what I felt this year, is that the cliches weren't cliches, the stay in the fight like mantra that they kept saying, it genuinely felt like that. They had so many opportunities to kind of stop trying or kind of turn shitty towards us as media or whatever it is, and they stayed human and they stayed saying the right things, and you kind of got the sense that you believed them. I don't know what that's worth going forward, because you need good players too. You need to fix all the other problems. But I would say that was the number one challenge that they faced, was just kind of keeping it together, doing and saying the right things. I honestly think they did it.
I wish you could run on morale alone. Winnipeg Jets powered only by good vibes. That's all it takes. Well, Murat, would you like to plug anything? Where can people find you?
WPGMURAT. That's Winnipeg Murat at Twitter. Obviously, The Athletic Winnipeg as well. And on, you know, just listen to this episode again. I'm gonna doubly plug this. We hate a whole
Play
lot
back.
Of hidden messages. Play it backwards.
Easter eggs.
It was so nice to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of Puck Bunnies. That was Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Big thanks to him all the way from Peg City for covering the Jets season and their unfortunate playoff exit. Thoughts and prayers to Mark Scheifele, Patrick Laine.
Hope
they have a nice summer. And you can call in with your questions or suggestions for our next episode at 774-318-6952. You can find the podcast on Twitter at puckbunnies_pod. You can find us on Instagram at puckbunniespod. You can find me and Christina just floating around the internet ether, chilling, vibing.
If you find us at the beach, leave us alone.
Yeah, leave us alone. Don't talk to us. You can throw some money at patreon.com/puckbunnies. You can also rate and review the podcast on your platform of choice. That's very helpful. Right now, we are one of the highest rated hockey podcasts that is hosted by two American blonde girls with no hockey IQ. I think we're coming in first in that slot. But it's always nice to knock out some more competition. And we will see you guys next time. I'm Audrey.
I'm Christina.
And this has been Puck Bunnies. Bye! Mwah. But strictly speaking, I'm still on track. Strictly speaking, I'm holding on. What on the mind I said it back. But strictly speaking, I'm still on track. And all of my dreams are still in. But strictly speaking, I'm still on track.